If you are someone who's looking to learn more about fertility awareness method for natural birth control or conception, and you're ready to finally get to the root of hormone imbalances for good, this is the podcast for you. The cool thing is, Fertility Awareness Method is here for you in all seasons of your life. When you're looking to prevent pregnancy, when you're ready to conceive, and when you want to use it postpartum. So if you're in the phase of your life where you are looking for a natural form of birth control without all the hormones, head on over to my free training, nourishedwithnina.com/famtraining for all of the information. All right, let's go ahead and hop right into this new episode.
When we are practicing Reiki, we are just the channels. We are just the facilitators of this energy. At the end of the day, it's truly the client or the recipient that is ready on a soul level to accept assistance and to accept healing and to accept the responsibility of making the shifts they need to make.
Hey friends, welcome back to a new episode of the Healing Hormones Podcast. I'm Nina Boyce, your host, certified hormone coach, fertility awareness educator, and Reiki practitioner. Today on the show, I am talking with Violet Hadigan, who is a Southern California-based psychic medium and intuitive healer. She is the sixth generation traditional Usai Reiki master and energetic awareness educator on a mission to assist those on their journey of healing and soul development. I had a personal Reiki session with her. It was incredible. I really wanted to focus on getting some good energy and working out any blocks that I was currently experiencing, especially during this pregnancy. And I love that Violet also has a special focus on fertility, pregnancy, postpartum, and hormone balance. So that was why I specifically reached out to her. But not only does she specialize in this area of energy healing, but she is also pregnant. And when we recorded this episode, she was in her third trimester. And to be honest, as I'm recording this intro, she may already have had her baby. So I can't wait to catch up with her and see how she's been doing. It was just overall an amazing conversation. So whether or not you are pregnant, looking to conceive, or a new mama, this episode is amazing just to really ground all of us in the energetic body, learning how to tap into that, why it's so important. And you all know, as a Reiki practitioner, I take this work super seriously, and I incorporate energy healing into my private program with my 3-month coaching clients. But you're also able to schedule Reiki sessions with me outside of the private program, and we'll have that linked in the show notes. But I'm so honored to have been able to take Violet's advanced Reiki course so that I'm now trained in fertility, pregnancy, postpartum, and newborn Reiki, and I'm able to offer this more tailored service to all of you. So again, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to check out Violet. I'll link all of her information in the show notes. And if you're looking to do a hormone healing Reiki session, I'll have my info also linked in the show notes. I would love to schedule a virtual session with you or in person if you're here in Columbus. And I cannot wait for you guys to tune into this episode. Hi, Violet. Thanks so much for being here today. I am super geeked to chat with you as a Reiki practitioner myself. I have so many questions, and I really enjoyed my Reiki session with you that I had a couple days ago. So I just cannot wait to dive in and talk all the things energy work around pregnancy, fertility, and hormones. Thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. This is a pleasure to be a part of this today.
You're welcome. So I ran into your work through a friend. Her name is Ashley. She's the founder of Blue Mama. And she was like, you need to check out this girl. I think you would love her and you have a lot in common with her. So you're pregnant as well. Let's just get that out there right off the bat. How far along are you?
I am 36 weeks as of yesterday.
And 36 weeks is considered,
wait, I think 9 months. Full term? I think it's technically,
yeah.
I think,
or is it 39?
I don't know. I just know after 37, it's like kind of fair game between that and 42 weeks.
That's what I was gonna say. Yes. And you're having a boy.
I am having a boy, yes.
So exciting. I am 18 weeks today and having a girl. So
congratulations.
I'm far behind you and opposite
gender.
You're
almost halfway there though.
That's true, which is wild to think about. It really does move so fast.
Yeah.
But I want to just jump in and talk about what got you into all of this work. So not only do you do Reiki, but you also are a medium. You incorporate tarot and you did numerology in our session. So share about all of the tools you use and what even brought you into this space.
So yes, I have a very multifaceted practice. Not only do I do practice Reiki and intuitive healing, I'm also a psychic medium. I love numerology. I'm a Virgo, so by nature, anything number associated, I just like my mind thrives on it. And I do tarot and oracle. And these are all just kind of aspects that have really resonated with me on a soul level, which is why I chose to incorporate them into my practice, into my business. I have been very sensitive since I was very little, very sensitive to the spiritual realm, the spiritual world, loved ones, energy. And through most of my life, I was aware of this, although I didn't understand it. I didn't know how to manage it. I didn't have the education or the support in assisting me with this. So for much of my life, I didn't want it. I really actually tried to run from it. I didn't want it at all. And it wasn't until the passing of my mother when I was 23 that I kind of came full circle and that window started to open back up for me. And even then I was like, I don't want this. Like, why is this happening?
Did you start with the psychic medium stuff? Were things kind of coming to you, or was it just you were very intuitive and you were like, this is too much for me?
So the mediumistic part of sensitivity was something I've carried over since that childhood. When I was very young, I started seeing spirit. And before about 8 or 9, I was more susceptible to it. Like, I was okay with it. I hadn't filled my subconscious with a lot of this Hollywood depiction of the spiritual world. And my mom and my grandma are quite sensitive too. So they understood it and recognized it. They just didn't know how to help me develop it and continue to feel comfortable with it. And then as I got older and I started experiencing it and my subconscious and critical mind started playing a more of a role in my perception of it, I didn't like it because it would happen to me when I was not expecting it. And I would be like, you're not supposed to be there. Like, what are you doing? what are you doing? So that was the beginning of my journey with, I guess, my clairs, if you will, my psychic abilities. And from that point on, I really tried to suppress it in many ways because I didn't want it. It scared me. But I always carried that sense of awareness of energy, like emotional energy and the people around me. And I recognized that, but I didn't recognize it truly why I was experiencing that. And so I carried that through my teens into my 20s. And when my mom passed away when I was 23, many people say they have a spiritual awakening, if you will. And sometimes it has to be a traumatic event. Like, we have to kind of hit the bottom of the barrel to really awaken in so many ways. And from my mom passing was when I started kind of like intuitively picking up on things or starting to see things again. And there was a series of several events that kind of domino affected in my life. And I was drawn to Reiki. And Reiki was something, I was intuitively very drawn to it. And I felt it was such a safe space by nature, if you will. It wasn't working with like magic or, you know, any of that kind of stuff.
I resonate a lot with this, with me deciding to do my Reiki. I was like, oh, this is a safe space to kind of get into this work. Yeah.
Like, it felt light, and I felt like it was just such a light energy and education and understanding and just a really lighter way about going about the energetic body and emotions and stuff. And so naturally I was drawn to that. And that just really started to open up a lot for me as far as realigning with my sensitivities and my gifts and my intuition and my higher self and my guides, and everything just started expanding from that point.
So I resonate so much with what you were saying because I also was a very intuitive, sensitive child. And I definitely blocked it because I think I would let other people's emotions like resonate with me too much. And it would make me very anxious. It would make me very sad. And I, you know, struggled with anxiety throughout my life too. And so it wasn't until I realized that I think it was just, I took on so much and I felt so much that was the reason. But it really did lead me, like when I kind of hit rock bottom with all of it, that's what led me into the more spiritual side of things. And I got into pulling tarot and meditation. And then I was like, I really want to do this. I experienced a Reiki session and I was like, I think I want to do this work. And so all of it started to really resonate. And I just, it's a super, super wonderful tool for healing the body and for relieving anxiety and for hormones and pregnancy and so many other things. So I know that you focus on all areas when it comes to your Reiki practice and your work, but I really want to focus in on the hormonal piece of it today, because that's what really resonated me to you and also why I scheduled a session with you being pregnant. I was like, oh, she knows this. She's got this. So how have you found that Reiki and let's actually take a step back because I haven't had a podcast episode on this in a while. Can you maybe explain what Reiki is in your own terms?
Yeah. So Reiki is a universal life force energy. Everything is energy within our universe and our bodies are energy. We have an energetic body housed within our physical body, which is also energy. It's just a denser form of energy. The energetic body really is associated with our chakra system and our auric seal. Most people can recognize and relate to that. The meridian lines of acupuncture and whatnot, chi energy, right, all of that stuff. So what we naturally are connected to the life force energy, but as we experience the life experience within this lifetime, we have different events, if you will, that affect our energetic body. So oftentimes we refer to this as trauma, but trauma can really vary from any degree.
Right.
Where we experience this life to learn lessons, to grow. And oftentimes when we experience a trauma, many of us don't either know how to process it or we choose not to because it's too painful. Mm-hmm. So what happens is we suppress that energy. And that can be stored in the body in whatever manner the body feels it needs to store it. And can collect in different chakras that can affect us emotionally. And what Reiki does is essentially go in and help address these energetic blockages, if you will. And it's important we address these energetic blockages because when we do so, we're actually learning and understanding what it is this trauma or this experience or this opportunity for growth truly was so that we can release it and move on. But what is not really educated in the regular life of everyone is that when we bypass these lessons or these experiences or these traumas that are suppressed, they become energetic blockages and they affect us in many different ways. Triggers is a really common form when we're triggered by something, a trauma. They can manifest in physical form too. So people who have immense worry issues have stomach digestion issues.
Exactly.
People with anger issues have back problems. And if left prolonged can become disease in many forms. And I'm not a doctor, so don't quote me on that. But in my experience from what I witnessed and what I've understood and gained from the energetic body and comprehension and the physical body and how they are so intricately intertwined.
Yeah.
There is a lot associated with our physical reality based on the energetic body.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. And even for myself, struggling with a lot of the lower hip pain and back pain that I've experienced and the menstrual problems and imbalances that I've experienced, I know it's related to things that I've held on to. I thought it was interesting during our Reiki session. I mean, I know that I'm also pregnant, but didn't the guides tell you or whoever you connect with was like, there's a lot going on in the sacral chakra.
Yeah, it was very, very busy.
Yeah, very busy. It's always been busy. So when I did my Reiki training, I remember they were like, there's a lot going on in this area. And then when you said that, I was like, well, now I'm pregnant, but I bet you there's just a lot going on in that area regardless that needs to be released. But that's where Reiki comes in. And it's you just allow allow it to do its thing. The thing that I've noticed is challenging for people is it's hard to conceptualize that. So I think with acupuncture, for example, they physically feel the needles and then they can feel the sensations, and you can feel the sensations when you get Reiki as well. But it's almost like because there's a physical needle in you, it's like, oh, this makes sense that I'm feeling these things.
Totally. And we have two of our five senses recognizing this.
Right.
By physically seeing it and physically feeling it.
Right.
It's like out of our critical mind capacity to accept something that's outside of our five senses. That's how our mind is programmed. If it can't process it or recognize it or justify it because it's not seen or touched, not tangible, it's really hard to get our mind on board to accept it as reality. Seeing is believing, which most people will refer to it as.
Right. But
energy is not visible. Molecule on a molecular level of our body and our existence is not tangible.
So true. But there is a science behind it.
Absolutely.
Do you mind explaining that a little bit? I don't know if you know the exact science. I don't.
Well, I'm not a scientist either.
Yeah. But if there's a way that you've maybe verbalized it to people, I struggle to do that. And I mean, I'm Reiki too, so maybe I haven't like learned, or maybe I need to go back and read everything. But I struggle with verbalizing how it works. As like, when somebody experiences Reiki to me, they share something different. How they felt it, what they maybe saw. Sometimes they see colors. Sometimes they feel heat. They wake up and just feel relaxed, or maybe they didn't fall asleep, but they just are in that parasympathetic mode.
Yes.
But before they experience a session, I have a really hard time explaining what is happening. So I don't know if you have a good way for those that have never experienced Reiki before.
Typically, I can explain in justifying it by explaining the energetic body and the chakra systems and the auric field and why we have emotions and how emotional experiences help us learn and grow, and how we have emotional experiences oftentimes are suppressed and create these energetic blockages, X, Y, and Z. Normally, every once in a while, I do get the occasional very, you know, right side of the brain critical analysis individual.
My husband.
Yes. And, you know, I don't think I actually learned this through my Reiki training. I think I kind of collected this awareness over time. But there is scientific studies that study quantum physics.
Right.
Study of energy. And I believe it was Albert Einstein, but please don't quote me because, again, I'm 36 weeks pregnant and I'm not a scientist. But I believe that Albert Einstein or someone of his era had split an atom and taken half of the atom somewhere else and were like manipulating half of the atom and seeing that it was affecting the other atom. Because energy is not defined by time or space. Again, right. That's the human capacity to want to, you know, compartmentalize everything.
Yeah.
The same example could be a mother and a child, and a mother intuitively, energetically being attached to the child and recognizing when something's happening to that child, even though she's not looking at the child, she's not around that child.
Yeah.
That is the same thing with energetic, you know, expression.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
It absolutely does. I actually, there's a really powerful story in my own life. When my brother has severe special needs. And one time I was three, I was sleeping with my mom. She woke up out of nowhere, just up, and ran into my brother's room. And this is when he was having his first big seizure where he stopped breathing. And I remember to this day, she's like, I don't know what woke me up. She says like an angel in her dream woke her up, but she just, you know what I mean? Like just gets up and knows to run to that room. And now being pregnant, that story gives me goosebumps. Just like, wow, how we have these connections. But I think everybody can relate to that. You know, everybody can say, oh, there's been a time where I've been thinking about this person and then they called or they texted me.
Yeah.
Or I felt this energetic pull towards something or a job or an opportunity. Like we all have these experiences with energy. I just, sometimes we don't know how to put it in a nice little neat box and explain it.
Yeah, totally. And it takes experience and everyone is different too. But when we can recognize that energy is much more than, you know, the phone ringing or the light turning on, it's so much more infinite and expansive than that. It makes it a little bit easier to recognize, to except that there's so much more outside of our physical body and our physical five senses.
Yes, absolutely. So the reason I love Reiki so much is I feel like it really rounds out the work that I do as far as, you know, I have the nutrition element and then I like to work on lifestyle and stress reduction. And then there's this whole mental, emotional, energetic piece that I think we really forget about in terms of health, especially women's health, hormones, fertility, pregnancy. So I want to dive into how you found Reiki has really helped your own clients in all of those aspects, whether it's just with balancing hormones or maybe even infertility or miscarriage or supporting pregnancy. I mean, you can kind of dive in whichever area speaks most to you.
You know, it's interesting that you say that too, because we are so familiar with that quote, the mind, body, and soul.
Right.
Having the mind, body, and soul in alignment. And you touch on both of those, not just the physical capacity, but the energetic soul capacity and the mind capacity. And the mind capacity, I think, is the most difficult aspect to get in alignment and maintain in alignment. Mm-hmm. So where do I begin? Well, Reiki is just fantastic in general, because when we are receiving Reiki, when we're giving Reiki, it is extremely relaxing to the nervous system mm-hmm. and the neurological system, which is such a influential piece of our being. So how often do people really truly relax? Especially in this day and age when you're constantly stimulated. You have your phone, you have, you know, electric magnetic waves, you're watching the news and COVID, like everything that's
always
going on. Family.
Yes.
What am I doing next week? What did I do yesterday? I'm thinking about a situation 10 years from ago, you know. There's just so much going on. And we also live in such a fast-paced life. We are not at all where we were 100 years ago. And, you know, like, all I had to really do was go to the farm and...
We are literally living in an evolutionary mismatch now where our bodies haven't quite caught up to the crazy... fast-paced lifestyle that we are now living. And you all, and it's not just like work and all of this. It's like also, you're right, electronic stimulation constantly. Like I just, oh my goodness, since I left teaching, I'm always on a computer now. I'm like podcasting, looking at my computer. I'm on the phone for Instagram and like checking. I'm like addicted to checking my email now. I'm like, ooh, check my email, check my emails. Like I need to stop. Like there's just so much stimulation all the time.
Yeah. And with that is like learning balance. Like, yeah, our bodies haven't caught up. I don't think they ever will, but we have to recognize there needs to be a balance.
Yeah.
There's polarity in everything and balance is incredibly key and important. But so circling back to the initial premise of Reiki is like just relaxing the body, allowing ourselves to just like slow down and be present. We cannot be intuitively connected to our energetic body to any capacity if our mind is like in every which direction. Mm-hmm. And we all possess an intuition. We all possess an ability, if you will, a sensitivity to our own being, our own soul. And so we can all connect into that, but it's a matter of us learning and intentionally slowing down to be in connection to it and to recognizing it.
Yeah.
So when we can start slowing down the body, it gives us time to like rest in our body to start doing the things it needs to do. It's like REM sleep. We all need REM sleep. That's when our body actually like, you know, recovers. Mm-hmm. But if we bypass it over time, all that recovery is never going to be obtained and we're depleted.
Right. Yeah, so, exactly.
So that's what's important. And then there's so many layers of or is like delving into the energetic body and the chakra systems in the auric field and like processing through different traumas that have everyone accumulates through their lifetime. That's just naturally what happens. We are in this lifetime for our soul's evolution. That's why we have these experiences. We have these karmic contracts, if anyone believes in that. But that's a different story. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, we're also similar to an onion, where we are constantly peeling back layers. And in all divine timing, there's certain things that will be coming up, certain lessons, certain times of really being ready to process and release energetic traumas or energetic blockages that we've been holding on to. So when we start allowing the energetic body to get into balance, which Reiki assists us in doing, mm-hmm. then we can start delving a little bit deeper and start doing that soul work, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I truly believe that we are here to learn lessons. And every time I go through something challenging, that that reminder helps me because I'm like, okay, I need to go through this. Because I used to be really afraid of the darkness, mm-hmm. like, or the anxiety, or if I felt depression. Like, I was so opposed to that I would fight it and make everything so much worse. And so the more I've done this sort of work, the more I realize, like, it's okay to feel into those things. And then you allow them to pass because you start to heal them. And I was nervous, probably my overthinking, but I was really nervous with pregnancy because I was like, wow, this is opening a portal. Like when you get pregnant, you open one portal. And then when you give birth, you open up a whole nother portal. And I'm like, what the hell is going to come up for me? Like I'm still, you know, I still know that I have some subconscious fears around opening up for motherhood and being nervous about what's going to come up that I'm not sure about. But I think we need to realize that this is what we're here for. We're here to, and we're capable of working through these things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I was actually, I always get like intuitive downloads when I'm like literally trying to go to bed. And two nights ago, my guides were coming forth and they were talking about like the physiological effects on the body. Like talk about the physiological effects of the body. And what that means is we have 10% consciousness, 90% subconsciousness. So I refer to our subconscious as like a deep, dark, black Mary Poppins purse for anything and everything to be pulled out of.
Yeah, I love that.
It influences so much, even our critical capacity. Our critical mental capacity is highly influenced by our subconscious, but our subconscious is just kind of in the back, like it's in the back. We don't really pay attention to it. So when it comes to the realm of maternity and pregnancy and birth and postpartum, it's really important that we're doing that self-work and delving deeper to start working through a lot of those, you know, oftentimes limiting beliefs, oftentimes like trauma in our own experience or trauma we've collected in hearing other people's experiences, because it influences us. When we experience life, our subconscious and our critical mind like chime in to be like, we've already experienced this or we've heard about this or we recognize this. So this is how it's going to play out. And then
the story of my life.
We, without any intention, start playing out this piece of what was already stored in our subconscious, even though it's not real.
Yes.
Or not our truth. Mm-hmm. So when we recognize really the velocity of our mind, we start to recognize how it affects ourselves on a physical level too.
Yeah.
You know, when someone, like the placebo effect. If someone's sick and you take two sick people with the same exact symptom and you give one a placebo pill and one an antibiotic, they probably both will get well, generally speaking, because that's mind over matter for the placebo effect.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are telling themselves, because our thoughts are energy, that we're getting better, we're taking this, we're getting better. And then our body starts to naturally get better. Our body's capacity to heal and regenerate is infinite, just like the universe. But for many years, and this is just my personal opinion, so take it if it resonates with you, leave it if it doesn't. But our body is capable of miraculous things if we give it the right tools and allow it to do so.
Yeah.
And our mind sometimes doesn't want to give it the right tools because we're living in fear. We're living in preconceived notions or ideas of how it should go or how it has happened before.
Yes, I 100% agree with that. And we're living in a fear state right now. Like there's so much fear around us. But when you were speaking about the subconscious, I was thinking, you know, one of my limiting beliefs or subconscious fears is postpartum depression. I'm always like, oh no. Because to me, it's like you want the birth to happen and you want to feel so loving and connected and like all of the typical, this is what you sort of see on TV type of thing with pregnancy. And so I remember every time I would hear a story of somebody that struggled or this or that, I know that it's like implanting in me. And then subconsciously I'm holding on to that. Like
absolutely.
It's almost like I paint a picture of, well, what if that happens? What if that happens? And I need to remember that it's okay to take in things, but they don't have to be your reality. And also recognizing that as a fear and not being real, which is actually something that came up for me during our Reiki session that I was writing out when it was like, remember that fears are false truths, and changing like negative self-talk to self-compassion. Like that's always a theme that comes up in my life. But Reiki really helps you to uncover those and then feel, to me, it's more about feeling grounded that they don't have to control me. Like, I can recognize this and I can release it. I can recognize this and I can release it. And sometimes I have to do that over and over and over again. I'm sure it's going to be a theme forever for me and for all of us in different aspects. But Reiki really helps you get to the root of that.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny we're having this conversation too, because I remember speaking to a girlfriend who's in the energetic realm and we were talking about how powerful our thoughts really are.
Yeah.
And if we get fixated on a thought that something is going to be how it's going to be because we saw it or we heard it, mm-hmm. it's like taking a pencil on a piece of paper. And every time we think about it, we draw a line and then we draw a line again in that same space. And we keep drawing a line deeper and deeper. And it takes more time to erase that line when you're ready to erase it.
Yeah.
So sometimes it is a little bit more work because we have a lot attached to that line that we've drawn for ourselves.
Yeah. If you have been thinking about enrolling in 3-month private hormone coaching, now is your last chance before I stop taking enrollments at the beginning of the new year. As you all know, I am due on April 2nd, and that means that this baby girl could come anywhere from the end of March into the middle of April. And so that also means I can only enroll new private hormone coaching clients through the first week of January. So if you've been wanting to deep dive into your hormones, do some one-on-one work, this is your last chance to sign up for a 30-minute free hormone deep dive to see if private coaching is a good fit. This is the most intimate way that I can work with my clients and get you the best results possible. So during our 3 months together, we'll meet 2 times a month for 50-minute coaching calls where we'll dive into all aspects of hormone healing, including nutrition specific for your body, lifestyle and healing therapies that are going to work to get you to your goals, as well as hair mineral analysis testing so that we can tailor a supplement protocol specific to what your body needs. And in addition to that, I also will teach you everything you need to know about fertility awareness method, whether that means you are transitioning off of birth control and looking for a natural method to prevent pregnancy, or we're deciding to work together to supercharge your fertility and help you get pregnant. Fertility awareness method is a huge component of that 3-month program. And as a special bonus, I always include a virtual or in-person Reiki session as well. So this is really a full, comprehensive healing plan where we can work together to get you to your hormone and fertility goals. Again, I am only enrolling clients through the first week of January, and then I will not be taking any more private clients until probably June or July of this summer. So this is your chance. I would love to work with you before I go on maternity leave, and we can schedule that free 30-minute hormone deep dive to really make sure that this is a good fit for you. Link to schedule your call is in the show notes, and I would love nothing more than to be able to support you. Especially in my case, like, it definitely stems from things when I was younger. So that line has been darkening since probably elementary school. And I've been doing the work for a while to erase it. But it is interesting that when transitions happen, like pregnancy, for example, can be a big one. It brings it back, you know, and you're like, oh, wow, yeah. I still have some erasing to do there. Like, I still have these limiting beliefs there. So I want to talk more about fertility issues. If you're mm-hmm. struggling with getting pregnant, now it took me 6 months to get pregnant and there were a lot of different things that I did. And I really, truly think it helped me to get pregnant within that 6 months. But I took mm-hmm. a couple breaks in between. How can Reiki support fertility and be just a beautiful tool in your toolbox when it comes to supporting fertility?
Absolutely. So first, the physiological effects of like calming the nervous system and allowing mm-hmm. our body to do what it needs to do. Because if we're constantly in a state of stress, our body really isn't able to relax and do what it needs to do. And then moving forward from that, as we start kind of like moving out some of the energetic blockages, which most women carry a lot of energetic blockages within our reproductive organs. That's just naturally where we want to store it, because oftentimes it's associated with our heart, and our heart is very much attached to our sacral and, you know, our chest space, our heart space. And when we start working through why we have those energetic blockages held within those specific areas, it starts alleviating those blockages. Mm-hmm. And those blockages, again, can very much manifest into physical issues if never addressed. Mm-hmm. So people with very bad, you know, uterine or ovarian cysts, a lot of times they have an association with like an emotional capacity that they've been suppressing there. Mm-hmm. And it's, I feel like so often I recognize this in my clients that are constantly striving to people please or like emotionally attached to other people's outcomes. And then they suppress their own emotional outcomes. So working through that space as well, the emotional capacity and the many layers of that through Reiki, which, and I have to say this too, is when we are practicing Reiki, we are just the channels. We are just the facilitators right. of this energy. At the end of the day, it's truly the client or the recipient that is ready on a soul level to accept assistance and to accept healing and to accept the responsibility of making the shifts they need to make.
Yeah.
So they are ready to make those steps. They are ready and recognizing, even if they don't, and the critical mind recognize it on a soul level, they're recognizing, I need to release this. I'm ready to release this.
That's something that I really love about Reiki that makes me feel better as a practitioner is I'm like, I'm just the, what's the word that I'm looking
facilitator,
for?
Facilitator, the conduit.
Yeah, conduit. That was what I was going to go for, but facilitator. And I'm like, whatever they are ready to receive. And I always say for myself too, when I receive Reiki, I'm like, let me receive what I'm ready to receive in my own timing.
Yeah.
Because that's, the body will, but Reiki energy flows where it needs to go and it's going to do what it needs to do. And that's something that I love to remind people about any sort of healer in general is like the healer isn't necessarily healing you. They're just leading you and guiding you and helping. They're coaching you. They're opening
they're assisting,
you up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's with any type of healer in general. Like I think a lot of people can get attached to that person is fixing me, but it's always you opening up and healing yourself.
Absolutely. And that lays on the responsibility of the practitioner to make sure they're not creating any type of dependency with their clients
yeah.
as well. So that's like, as far as working with someone, that is like a telltale sign of recognizing whether someone is genuine in their integrity yes. of their work, if whether or not they're holding space for you or they're making you dependent on them.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point for anybody that you go to work with.
Yeah.
Make sure yeah. that you get that sense with them. So we've been talking about the chakras a little bit. Like we've talked about the sacral chakra. That's where a lot of the hormone work and things come in. We've talked about the heart chakra. I do have an episode coming up with somebody that I think we're going to dive into super detail about them. But just for anyone listening now, can you chat briefly on the chakras that we work with through Reiki and maybe what each one, how each one resonates with you?
Yeah, totally. Well, there's, from my understanding, there's up to like 32 chakras, but yeah. the primary ones are seven main chakras that most people are familiar with. Beginning at the base of the spine is the root chakra, which governs our foundation and our security, both within the physical realm and within our emotional and energetic foundation as well. Above that, underneath the navel, is our sacral, and that's associated with our creativity and sexuality. I really associate it also with our soul self-love, our boundaries. How are we listening to ourselves on a deeper level and providing ourselves what it is we need through boundaries, through taking a nap in the afternoon, through saying no, whatever it might be, doing what you enjoy, finding time for that enjoyment, etc. Mm-hmm. Above that, located in the stomach region, is our solar plexus. That is our intuition. I call it our divine compass. Many people have heard like the gut instinct. You start to feel stuff there if something's off or something's going on.
So is the third eye not your intuition?
It's intuition, but it's also...
Is it a little both?
It's both, yeah. They both need to be equally balanced because this is like more of our psychic capacity, the third eye, whereas the intuition really stemmed our awareness of things.
Mm, okay, got it. Yeah, I like that.
the chest space is our heart chakra. It's a center point between heaven and earth where that true divinity of light and love can be projected. It's very much attached to our sacral. So the love that we feed ourselves is ultimately the love that we can truthfully project out to others. Above that in the throat is our throat chakra, our ability to speak up and speak our truth. Above that in our between our brows is our third eye, which is our psychic abilities, but that's not always associated with like, you know, mediumship or you know, that type of stuff. Like it's important that that is equally balanced because it actually really influences our thoughts and our critical mind, our subconscious mind, our brain capacity. And above that, located at the top of the crown is our crown chakra, which is our direct connection to source, our higher self, the higher energetic realms.
Have you found that also with the crown chakra, if somebody's experiencing a lot of anxiety or like really up in their head or a lot of like vata energy, does that tend to create a too open crown chakra? Because sometimes when I'm doing Reiki, that's what I pick up is I'm like, I just feel like there's just a lot in the head, but I don't necessarily know. And maybe that is, I guess, connected because you're not trusting that everything's going to work out.
Well, so those chakras really, the more they are developed and expanded, the more sensitive we are to like the spiritual realm, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's in all capacity. That's in intuition and our guides and in all of those realms. And the, you know, our lower chakras, the first three are really developed into our human capacity, our human experience. And they are the premise, they are the basis of what need to be healthily developed in order to grow into the upper chakras in a balanced manner. So when someone focuses too much on opening up this space of the third eye and the crown and not having it equally balanced with our lower chakras, we become top heavy. I always give the analogy where when we are centered and we're balanced and we're grounded, we are like a right side up pyramid. Mm-hmm. And a pyramid will not topple over. This is secure.
Yeah,
but if we become top heavy because we are not focusing on our reality and staying grounded and secure, and we are focusing primarily in our thoughts and our headspace, in our third eye and our crown, we become an upside down pyramid. And an upside down pyramid has no foundation that can topple over at any time. And when that topples over with the you know friction and the movement of the spiritual realm, that can look different for everyone. But most oftentimes, they have an overwhelming experience. Whether it's like they're too like in their thoughts, they're getting depressed, they're getting anxiety, they feel overwhelmed. If you're in that sensitive capacity, then we start experiencing stuff that is not truth reality. We start perceiving in a fogginess, if you will.
Yeah. Ooh, I think that I have to make sure that I have to balance that. Like I've definitely, well, I think even in our Reiki session, like you were telling me, I need to recheck in and balance with that. Cause I have a tendency to definitely want to be that like upside down triangle for some reason. It's like natural energy just, but I also feel like a lot of people listening probably resonate with that because I see a lot of root chakras that need to be balanced. I feel like we're all there.
Well, we live in a society where having to face our reality oftentimes is too overwhelming. We have too much stimulation. We have too many worries. With everything that's going on with the state of our nation right now.
Yes, yes.
It's easier, you know, to detach from the reality or be strictly like in our thoughts and be overridden by our thoughts. And then we become top heavy. Like on the basic terms, it's easier to be in our thoughts in our head than to address our reality.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. But we need to do the hard work of addressing our reality so that we can start to heal.
Yes, and learn and grow and develop. And that's part of our soul's evolution. That's part of the human experience that we will continue to experience through this whole lifetime. So it's better to recognize it earlier in life so you can like roll a little bit easier through life than have to learn the hard way.
Yeah, some of us just really fight it. We're like, no, 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 I'm not going there. And then usually the universe or something forces you to go there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's you have to dig yourself out of a lot at that point.
But it's all in divine timing. I trust it's always in divine timing.
Yeah, I like that. What are some of your favorite grounding tools? Because I'm sure a lot of us, I just feel like a lot of us listening right now need some of them.
Well, I will state that one of the most like common misconceptions of grounding is physical activity. I've heard from so many people like, well, I run and I exercise and I do all these things to be grounded in the physical body, but yes, what about the energetic body? They both go hand in hand and they both need to be grounded. So meditation is a powerful tool in helping us recenter, reconnect, and slow down our minds so that we can be more in alignment with ourselves. Reiki education, and I know you've learned stuff as well, there are different meditations that are great to actually intentionally ground our energy. And intention is a huge piece of that too. Why are we doing this? Recognizing why we were making these choices is just as powerful and important. So intending to ground yourself is the first and foremost first step. Also, you know, HC frequencies, the theta beats, there's like different music that we could be listening to, different focuses that we can be focusing on, whether it's the root chakra, the sacral chakra. My favorite thing to do, which I practice on a regular basis, is literally envisioning roots growing from my root chakra down to the core of the earth.
Yeah.
And really like intentionalizing that I am grounded, affirming to myself out loud or in my thoughts that I am grounded. I'm energetically grounded. I'm physically grounded. I feel secure. I feel safe. And then breathing in that energy from the core of the earth up into my body.
Oh, I love that. I usually imagine the roots too, but I like the idea of like breathing in the opposite way too, like the root energy coming through you. Have you ever done, what's it called? Earthing, or like where you put your hands on a tree or hug a tree or something like that?
Yeah. I work with a lot of plants. I have my house is like a jungle.
Yeah. So I see your plants right now. Plants I have some stuff too back there. Yeah.
Do I need to necessarily go out to touch a tree? I mean, I might feel called to do it, but I can't say I do it on a regular basis.
Right.
But I will say I've always, and this drives my husband crazy, I hate to wear shoes and socks.
I hate socks so much. Yes.
So if I call them feet prisons, because I'm like, it's just like it's constricting and I don't like it. But if I can go outside without shoes on, I've always chosen to do that unless I like have to go somewhere at someone's house and it's kind of inappropriate to do that.
Yeah. I don't like wearing socks either. I wonder if it's the same concept. I was in San Francisco and we went to the Redwood Forest. And I remember I told my husband, I was like, I just want to try this. And I did. Like, I took a moment and I like touched the tree. They are like the tallest trees or whatever. Ah. And I felt the energy. I was like, this is super cool. And then I have another friend. Her name's Kelsey Aida. It was interviewed for anyone listening. She's like super into all of this. And we were on a walk and she's like, do you want to touch this tree with me? And I was like, okay. Like, people are going to think we're super weird. But every time I've done it, like, just imagine. It's like also the same imagery of like the energy of this tree and bringing that into my being and grounding. Totally. It sounds kind of silly, but it works. It's a
biorhythm of earth. So the way it could be like, you know, compared to is when a baby is up against your chest and it's feeling your heartbeat and your breath, they're syncing up with your biorhythm. The same thing is happening when you're connecting in with Mother Earth and you're touching nature and connecting in with that energy. You're rebalancing your natural biorhythms.
And then you wonder why, again, I think a lot of us understand this, but we've never really conceptualized it, but why so many people feel this sense of calm when they're at the ocean or their feet are in the sand. Like, how many people like, oh, I just love my toes in the sand and I have to go to the ocean, or we look outside. How many people are just in awe of a sunset or the full moon? Or, you know, we're naturally drawn to these things because you're so right. We're what did you say? Balancing our
biorhythms.
Yeah. We're all connected to energy and have felt this. But sometimes I think we just haven't put it into words maybe.
And it's not educated. That's what's missing in the human society, is that we've so disconnected from nature.
Yeah.
That, or we've never been taught it, or we've never we maybe have resonated or intuitively been drawn to it. But so many of us are so, again, stimulated by everything outside of ourselves that we forget to connect in.
Yes. I wish that we taught this more. I wish that it was just taught more growing up. I think unless you have a parent or somebody influential in your life that's guided you, that it, I mean, hopefully, I have this like double fear that on one hand, I'm going to be teaching my daughter these things. And then like on one hand, she's going to be like, oh, my mom is so weird. Like she's going to like, or that it's actually going to resonate with her. And, you know, I'm going to try not to go overboard, but I want to teach her these concepts.
With that being said, I think that's really important. But part of one of the biggest lessons that I've recognized in this lifetime too, as far as like meeting people where they're at, is recognizing that everyone has their own soul path. As a parent, you have a responsibility to share with your children what they need, what you feel called to share with them, but recognizing that they have their own boundaries and their own space too at some point. So we can only like inspire them, but also recognize and respect the fact that they make their own decisions in their own path. And that's part of their karmic journey.
Yes.
It's really hard as for any parent, but we like, it's something that's important.
It takes the pressure off of me to think about the fact that they have their own path and journey that they're going to be going through. And that, because I think a lot of times, like even my parents, like, you know, when you feel pushed, you're like, oh my gosh, like, I get it, lay off. Because they're just trying out of love to help. But that's where a lot of times really controlling parents, the kids go the opposite way because they're like, ah, like, I can't handle this anymore. So when I remember that she's going to have her own path and she's going to have her own timing, I feel like it takes the pressure off of me as a parent that like I can do my due diligence and support her and be there for her and teach her what I want to teach her. But she's also going to learn things on her own and on her own journey, which is relieving.
Absolutely. I think one of the best things I ever learned is that compassion is not defined by overcompensation. Mm-hmm. Compassion is defined by unconditional love and understanding.
Yeah.
And that's like understanding and respecting people's choices and meeting them where they're at and still sharing that unconditional love. Because when you start getting like overcompensated, whatever that looks like, then we start internalizing the effects of that.
Yeah. Well, and when you said that, that just made me think of like where we are right now in like whether it's COVID stuff or politics, we are very much like not meeting people where they are, and we are overcompensating, like way overcompensating. And haven't we learned by now that we're never going to change somebody's mind just the more that we argue and push things down their throats? Like people are having their own experience and they have their own belief systems. And I think we're just causing a lot of tension in our own lives, a lot of anxiety, a lot of negative energy by just like forcing. And we need to just allow. And what's going to happen is going to happen. Do your part. Absolutely. But what's going to happen needs to
just happen. Absolutely. And part of this journey too is the ego. We all recognize the ego. We all know what the ego is. And in this lifetime, it's about learning how to put our ego in check.
Yeah.
And the ego is there for a reason. It's to protect us, but it really does a lot of, creates a lot more conflict than it needs to.
Always.
So when we can put our ego in check, we can start becoming more enlightened in our ability to meet people where they're at.
Mm. I love that. This has been such a wonderful conversation. I wish, where are you located? I don't even know.
I'm in Orange County, California.
Oh, nice. I was going to say, I wish you were in Columbus. I would love to go grab tea with you often and jam about things.
Crazy. We were thinking about coming to Ohio like a long time, like last year. I think it was last year. Nice. I was really drawn to coming to Ohio. And my husband was like, I was drawn to come to Ohio like 2 years ago and you refused to go. But now all of a sudden you have this grand idea of how you want to go. And we were going to
Columbus is awesome. Come visit.
We just wanted to go check it out. I don't know. I was drawn to just checking it out. There's something.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like native history there too, from my understanding. And I think that's where I was really kind of on a soul level called to just connect with that earth energy. Yeah. So maybe when this COVID craziness snows out, maybe we'll make our way out there.
Right. After baby's a little bit older and like all of that happens, I would love that. So for anyone listening, I love that your I mean, everybody's Reiki practice is different. I love that yours includes so many different aspects of, like I said, the numerology and then the tarot and then the mediumship. I know you keep it separate. Like you have medium sessions or whatever they're called. I might not be using the right term. Reiki sessions. But would you share the work that you do and where people can find you if they're interested in a session? I know that when this episode comes out, you're going to be on maternity leave, but where can they keep up with you and then follow back with you when you're back on board with doing all of this work?
Well, Instagram is my easiest platform, my go-to platform. And my Instagram handle is Wild Violet Oracle. So that's the easiest way to like connect with me and follow up with everything that I'm sharing. Cause I do a lot of like education and different sharing about what it is I do and all of that stuff. I also have a website, wildvioletoracle.com. You can always connect with me through that, through email. Both of those platforms have my booking platforms if you're interested in looking into availability. And both platforms provide descriptions of what each service actually is.
Awesome. Yes. Well, thank you again so much for coming on today and sharing. This has been great. And I feel lighter after our conversation. I love when I'm able to just like jam on this topic with
people. Yeah, that went by so fast.
We're at the hour. Yeah. I know, exactly. I should have like, I usually have about 45 minutes to an hour for each episode, but sometimes I'm like, I could just keep going and going.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. And we are both in the same realm of work. So I feel like when we're passionate about what we do, we could probably jabber on for a really long time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, again, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Nina. It was such a pleasure. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you all so much for listening to that episode with Violet. I hope that you loved it. Just a reminder that you can link up with her. I have all of her information in the show notes. She offers a wide range of services and again is a psychic medium. So you can always schedule a call with her for that side of her business as well. And if you're looking for any Reiki with me, the link is in the show notes. I would love to schedule a virtual or in-person session with you, focusing on all things hormone healing, fertility, pregnancy, postpartum, anything that you are looking for within that area, or just a general energetic tune-up for the body. All right, that's all I have for you guys this week. I will catch you next Monday with a new guest.